This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is May 9th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we have a discussion about human rights, right? Recently, I know that the Bahamas was supposed to go under some kind of annual reporting regarding human rights, right? And I wanted to know whether there is any concern, local concern, about Bahamas violating people's rights in general, right? I know we've had a series, and I use the word series loosely, of persons being detained, unlawfully detained, for an innumerate amount of time, right? They went in to be, for example, I remember they had a Japanese fellow who was detained for immigration purposes, and we kind of forgot him, and he spent several years in prison, and of course he's compensated. And then we had another of recent, a African fellow who was detained again for immigration issues, right? And we seemingly forgot about him for enlarged amount of times, and of course we had to compensate him. And then I know the Attorney General mentioned that we had several cases similar to that which we are addressing, and we compensate these people. Right, I know we have had international organizations and local organizations who claim about abuse here inside the Bahamas, whether it's warranted or unwarranted, right? But I want to analyze that today. I want to analyze that today to say, man, as we are a developing nation, we know we have one or two issues, but it's not necessarily say that we have a problem in the Bahamas, not more so than any other country. Right. And in order to assist me with this conversation, I have my own human rights advocate who tends to follow these things. Right. Who makes it a point of her interest to say out loud her concern, her organization's concern about human rights. And I'm going to be an antagonist in this conversation to say that we're doing good. We're doing good as a country. I may have one or two issues, right? But nothing to the point where we should be concerned. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't have people watching, analyzing, and critiquing the Bahamas regarding human rights. But the subject is worthy to be discussed. And this is why I welcome the Bahamas being analyzed and scrutinized regarding our human rights history and making sure that we do not abuse people's human rights inside the Bahamas, right? So that's where we're going to start with, right? We're going to start with perhaps a definition of human rights, which is an inalienable right, the right to, and the Constitution tends to outline these rights, right? But let me let Aaron join in and then explain that these inalienable rights that each human being should have.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm trying to dissect this big topic. You know what I mean?
I tell you what, I'm not a grouper. I have the right to not be baited.
But someone got to get beat. Someone got to get beat.
Right?
But go ahead.
But you said that human rights are inalienable rights, right? Those are things that people cannot, like the state can't take that away from you, right? So you have the right to life.
Yes, that's a given.
You have the right to a life free of violence.
Yeah, that's a given.
You have a right to freedom of movement.
And this is why I understand the Japanese and the African and his concern about being detained indiscriminately for such a large period of time with no right. intention of what they're going to do with him.
Now,
I understand that.
Although the governments will say that they have a right to restrict your movement, right? We see it in various forms. We see border control. But most importantly, we see the detention of people, right? We see incarceration, a prison system where people's freedom of movement is severely restricted as a form of punishment. When we look at the formation, like the formation of like the prison system, right? It was determined that the freedom of movement is one of the most important fundamental human rights, and restricting that freedom of movement in and of itself alone is a tremendous punishment, right? Mm-hmm. And so this evolution of the modern prison system is amazing. It's astounding. I see where it came from, but I don't understand why. I mean, I see why, but I don't understand how. I see how, but I don't understand why we still remain here with all of the knowledge, wisdom, and experience that we have. And so freedom of movement is one. I think there's an inalienable right. You have the right to be, not just be in love, but you have the right to be in relationship with other adults who also consent to be in relationship with you, right? Like nobody could tell. You have the right to love who you want to love. Even if that love is unrequited, right? You may never talk to that person who you love. You can make no demands of that person who you love, but you have the right to love them. And we think about it in Bahamian context, most of all. Imagine telling a man of European descent and a woman of African descent, or a woman of European descent and a man of Indian descent, right? Imagine telling them, y'all are not allowed by law to be in relationship with one another. Like, you could be in love, we don't care, but you're not allowed to talk to them. You're not allowed to develop a romantic, intimate relationship with them. You're not allowed to live together. You're not allowed to have intercourse or engage in any activity that may produce a child.
So let's get there, right? And I'm scanning this 2022 report of human rights.
So is that the U.S. Human rights report?
This is 2022 country reports on human rights practices in the Bahamas.
Right, that's the U.S. Department
yes.
State report. They issue a report once a year. The process that you referenced earlier mm-hmm. is the Universal Periodic Review, mm-hmm. right? And the Bahamas mm-hmm. government they were required to go to Geneva. And the process is, every session you go, you give a progress report, and then they give recommendations for what you could do next to improve the situation. Or after they have received and assessed reports from the government, from NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and non-profit organizations, they then assess that and make recommendations to the government based on that data and the government's response to their questions and assessments of the prior session's goals and targets.
And I see in this particular report, and I appreciate you distinguishing the differences,
yeah.
right? A number of what is outlined here, right? The freedom of expression, the freedom of movement, freedom of libel and slander, where they have laws about it, peaceful assembly, freedom of religion. We meet all of these criteria.
No.
And no, we don't have freedom of movement. You can't go any place you want to go? As a general, go ahead.
Remember, we had the lockdown.
Yeah, but that's the whole world had lockdown, man. They can't use that one example.
Now we have a pandemic act. See, we had lockdowns and we had restriction of movement into island travel, which was horrible, and I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, we acknowledged that.
No, we didn't acknowledge it because we haven't seen any documentation. We haven't seen any discourse coming from the legal community on what happened, the scope of what happened, the dangers of what happened, right? Like, we're all of that, the things that people do in a country that's prepared to lead itself, mm-hmm. right? But what's the last one you read? Freedom of religion. We don't have freedom of religion.
You can't be Muslim here.
You could be Muslim here. You can't be Muslim and a child here. Like, if you can't go to school and be in school, I mean, you could be Muslim, but you can't really, there's no real space made for people. And we've seen in recent, like in the last 20 years, we had a case where I think a Muslim man had sued the government.
That's for the Defense Force officer. He became Muslim afterwards.
It's okay.
But eventually.
You could do that. See, that's freedom.
He won.
You said that.
He won the thing. And that means that we have the freedom.
Right. Now,
I wanted to bring up, right? Usually when you hear about human rights practices, you hear the theme of homosexuality, we're not free. Then you hear the immigrants, the Haitian police said, they're not allowing us to do things like that. And now I'm thinking, mm-hmm. right, when concerns about cases of individual incidents of people abusing people's human rights, it always tend to be those two, and I'm generalizing here, and forgive me for this, it always tend to be those two issues where homosexuals in general say, but you are discriminating against us. And I said, but are we really discriminating against you? And you have freedom to get a job. You can get freedom to go to school. What is it that you think that we are abusing?
You see why I wanted the texter to send me some links to apps we could use? Because I want to know if these people could see my air quotations. If they could see my air quotation, Cecil. See, what I want to say is, you could imagine that it's the most vulnerable among us that taught Bahamians that they have human rights. Bahamians, I mean, let's start there. This is a really sort of new concept. I think a lot of Bahamians, a lot of Caribbean people, a lot of African diasporic people in this Western Christian dispensation don't believe in human rights. You only have the rights God gave you. Mm-hmm. You have the right to live until God says it's time to die. You know, that's it. That's basically it. And then, of course, God said you have the right to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. Not God, but, I mean, somebody interpreting God's words. Right in there,
mm-hmm.
you get a sense. It's vulnerable people who have been demanding their human rights. I think what has happened, right, is two things. They have this phrase, equality seems like oppression to those who have only ever experienced privilege.
Mm.
Right? Vulnerable people desperate for solutions, right, for their lives, desperate for solutions for accessibility to things like school, housing, education, they have sort of been responsible for pushing forward the fight for human rights. That's why you typically hear about those groups. Another thing is, I put this on the table, many will argue, since we were talking conspiracy theories earlier,
mm-hmm.
that the U.S. uses LGBTI issues and advocacy as foreign policy. And perhaps that's why you hear about it.
They seem to be exporting that particular view and pushing it on to countries.
Like, see, why you...
It's
the language. No, I'm mad at you for that. It's the way you said it, exporting.
They don't export.
They pay tax?
The U.S.?
The U.S. don't have that.
Yeah, but
they can't export
they
nothing.
Seem
they don't
to be
have
exporting
that.
A culture onto other people's countries and then say we are violating this human right, which tend not to be an issue.
No, but that's
here locally.
That's why I took issue with how you framed it, right?
Yeah, correct
because
me.
I don't think they're importing a culture. I think gay people, queer people, LGBTI people exist everywhere. That's not it.
Do they feel discriminated here in the Bahamas?
Yes, they do.
They do?
Yeah. What happens in the Bahamas, because of our proximity to the U.S. and the global north, traditionally we have solved problems with money, and that's what gay people have been doing in this country to solve their problems. They have found that while an advocate will find that the balance of visibility and invisibility should fall on visibility, right? Like the politics of visibility. But the queer community in the Bahamas enjoys the privilege of invisibility and tend to solve their problems with money. It's those LGBTI community members that don't have money, that can't solve their problems with money, that are focused on relying on supporting local advocacy to create change because they can't create the type of changes they need. Some of the problems are bigger than just boycott. See, some of the problems are, look here, this is why they tell you, boycott in school so you could get a good education, you could get a good job, and you could do the things you want to do. But some issues are larger than that, like young men who may be effeminate presenting. They may just have a lisp, you know, and nobody helped them with a speech impediment, but they are just perceived to be not just gay, but to be effeminate, right?
But that's not a government issue.
No, listen.
That's human-to-human issue, eh?
It is a human-to-human issue, but it expands beyond that, right? Because here is this young man who presents as effeminate, right? He may not even be gay. He may not even be gay, but he presents as effeminate. He gets kicked out of the home, or he is abused. He's beaten in the home for simple little things, right? Nobody ever directly ties it to their perception about his sexuality, but he's physically abused in the home, and he's mentally abused in the home. So he never gets kicked out of the home, you know. It's just made pellucidly clear that there's no safe space in this home for this child. We're talking 14, 13, 14, 15, 16. All of these young people supposed to be in the home. It then becomes a state matter. The state doesn't necessarily have to initially worry about why the child is not in the home. The most important thing is the child needs a safe place to be, right? And then we determine why have the parents abandon them. That their sexuality can never be a justification for that. There's no justification. You can't abandon your minor child and throw them on the streets because they don't want to live, right? They don't want to present as, they don't want to man up. They don't want to say every day, I'm not gay, I won't be gay. You can't abandon your children for that. And the state steps in.
So we're talking human rights issues inside the Bahamas, and I'm just debating with Aaron Green in terms of, I think it's two groups in the Bahamas, me, I think it's two groups inside the Bahamas that tend to dominate a conversation on whether there are human rights abuses inside the Bahamas. I mentioned that we have an immigrant groups, mostly the Haitian migrants, right? And we have the LGBT community who claims that they are being victimized in some way and that the state has a responsibility to them in terms of human rights. And I'm asking Aaron, let's go back to the human right of access to housing.
Yeah.
Right? We have persons, and we could concentrate on those two groupings, right? The LGBT community and, of course, the Haitian migrants, right? Who are building shanty towns. We know that.
Yeah.
We have a problem with it, right? And then we have a group of people saying they have a right to housing or access to housing, right? And I am concerned. I am concerned because their apparent right for housing seems to be allowing our laws to be broken.
I mean, as such poetry. I don't know why you would say it like that.
Then you correct me how I should say it.
No, not how you should say it, but here's how I would say it, right?
Go ahead.
We have a housing crisis.
Yeah, we know we have a housing crisis. We're limited.
No, we don't know that we have a housing crisis.
We don't know we have a housing crisis?
Anything the minister or the Ministry of Housing and Transport has said in the last 12 months suggests to you that we have a housing crisis?
She said we're going to have a rent to own. That suggests that we have a crisis.
No, that she said that we're going to have rent to own suggests that we haven't. Is proof that we're in a housing crisis because she don't realize that the vast majority of people who are unhoused can't afford rent to own. Hmm. They can't qualify for it.
But let's make sure we stay.
Okay, so let's get back to the point. Like you say,
why should I make? Hold on, let me set you up. Why should I make space for a migrant grouping to have access to housing on government land? That doesn't make sense.
You that ain't what you asked me the first time.
Well, go ahead,
I don't like how you all of a sudden became a lawyer.
I just say it for reason. Go ahead.
Let me get back to the first statement.
Go ahead.
Why, when we talking about housing crisis, housing issues, we predominantly hear LGBTI voices and migrant voices, right? Yes. Or in response to migrant housing issues, right? We had the loudest voices. I will say to you that we, and I have said over months, we have a housing crisis. It's not exclusive to migrants, and it's not exclusive to LGBTI people. Difficulty accessing housing, they have difficulty accessing safe housing, they have difficulty getting protection from the police and from landlords, from abusive other tenants, right, in the space, from abusive neighbors and community members. So LGBTI people, then we have a real issue with younger people and trans people and poor people who have no place to live. They couch surf, people live in groups, they extend the occupancy limits, they exceed the occupancy limits, they get kicked out, right? So we got these serious issues. But the truth is, we have a wider housing issue. As long those who enjoy this environment, those who don't see it as a crisis for them, the landlords, the property owners, right? They don't see it as a crisis. Everybody have an issue with the cost of housing. Everybody have an issue with accessibility, finding housing in safe neighborhoods, finding housing with low crime like car theft, petty theft, house break-ins, where police actually respond. All Bahamians are having that issue. Someone has convinced you, the general public, that it's only gay people and migrants having that issue. But gay people and migrants are at the bottom of the totem pole. And so their experience of the crisis is far more urgent than other people. But then we see with the presence of COI and their examination, right, their spotlights, we found that there are Bahamians living on Crown land, unregulated. Bahamians living in unregulated structures like school buses, right? Bahamians living in cars. In fact, we talk all the time about the situation in Grand Bahama with people living in cars. Those people who are telling you, oh, it's a problem that the Haitians are living in the bush, they don't care about housing. They don't care about a housing crisis. They're fixated on Haitian migrants. If you cared about housing, you would realize, like you and I have been saying over months, that the housing crisis extends far beyond Haitians and gay people.
But the goal here is how our government address it, right? I think our government is working towards solving the issue. But I think that the large migrant class here has exasperated the government's ability to respond, right? The idea that Abaco has a vast number of unregulated houses, and the majority of persons who live in these unregulated houses are migrants. I understand there's a couple of Bahamians in that, right?
Right,
let me set the question up. How is it that you can tell government you cannot bulldoze 300 houses?
Oh, because you didn't follow the proper procedure set out in law. This is not a question. This particular issue is not a question of legal principle. This is a basic question of legal competence.
Mm-hmm.
Who could not follow the proper procedure for the process? That's what that is. You know, that's how you could tell the government who applied to have 300 houses demolished that they could only demolish two. Because you didn't follow the procedure that you have all of the leeway in the world to make what you want it to be. You could at any point in time change it to what you want it to be. That's why that happened. But we could get into the rest of it as soon. But I want to get into the rest of it as soon as we.
Yes. Yeah. We have a caller here, Aaron. Let's answer that phone call to have the caller engage you. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon. Good morning, Mario Nureda.
Good. It's not Mario, but go ahead.
I got to call you Mario because I have a good friend named Mario Nuri. Are you saying, correct me if I'm wrong, are you saying that migrants who are not citizens has a right to housing?
No, nobody.
That's not wrong. That's why I called it.
No. It couldn't sound. Pumpkin Eater, it couldn't sound like that. I never said that.
You said I'm trying to get a correction here.
No, you're not trying to get a correction because you're leading. I didn't say anything like that.
I said Nuri. I didn't say Aaron Green.
Nuri didn't even come close to
that. Okay, that's cool. Okay, say that. But then again, we have a lot of undocumented migrants, whether Haitian or Jamaicans, are here in the country. What the government should do now? Because you got to see.
What the government should do, Pumpkin Eater, is very simple. Pump the money into education that needs to be pumped into education so that you can produce a workforce that not only can do the jobs, but want to do the jobs.
What the government would do for those who are here illegally, because the United Nations are saying, stop deporting.
There's two categories of people that are here, Pumpkin Eater. Listen, I just want to say this. I come on the show every day and I declare my biases, and I'm open to declaring my biases. And I want people to pause for a second and be prepared to declare their biases. Because Cecil didn't say anything that suggested that he believed that migrants have a right to housing. And I didn't say that migrants have a right to housing. And I'm going to suggest to you, Pumpkin Eater, that you start off with saying, I got a problem, and then we start from there. Let me get back.
And before you get back, let me put Patrick this phone call here. Producer, Patrick, this phone call through here, and then I can read on text, and you can go read.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nui. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of agree with C.A. Nui saying, but the thing is, I didn't get to hear Pumpkin too good, but Ms. Green, me personally, you know, a certain degree of subjective, you know, anyhow, listen to what I'm saying. In reality, I think you're incorrect, because I don't think Bahamian people are fixated on Haitians, you know. I'm 59 in August, and Haitians are here all the while, and, you know, you see the situation. We are miscegenated with them. We have children with them, and they have children with us, right? It's not the idea of being fixated. What the Bahamian people are saying, it's quite clear. We don't need a narrative to say what is going on.
What are they saying, 52?
All right. What they're saying is the numerology. All right. Let's put it this way. I jog the bridge from mornings in and out. The cleaning company, I see only Haitians coming off the bus talking Haitian, right?
Who owns the cleaning company? Everybody knows that the
site out Carmichael Road is predominantly Haitian. Everybody knows that all of the Bahama cleaning staff at the cleaning company Haitian. What I'm saying is they're looking at the selective justice being dispensed. They're looking at the injustices on their behalf as far as the shantytowns and the illegality of the acts that they're committing. Which demographic is settling in all of our islands and changing our names? These depots, how naive can we be with
52.
Depots? You're talking
52.
About human rights, right, Aaron?
Yes, but 52, pause. You're the smartest man I have heard. That's right. That's why I think you're the smartest man, because you'll get up and say you're the dumbest. You're the smartest man I have heard call this radio station, right? And
you're
I want
to be real, Ms. Green.
I'm trying to be real.
You know, we like Ms. 52. Green, you're trying to be real. People don't like it. They think they like us.
Be real and declare. Thank you, 52. Be real and declare your biases. Just be real, because I can say it again, and I hope you let me talk so that we could continue a conversation. Because I want you all to notice that whenever we talk about the Haitian migrant situation, we can never have a conversation. You presume I say something and then you have to shout at me because you have to outweigh what it is I'm saying. I'm asking you to have a conversation because you're the smartest boy I know who's calling to the radio station 52. And what I'm saying to you is this. What I can see, right? Is both Bahamians are Haitian and Haitians are being pitted against each other, right? The Bahamas does not know how to respond to the U.S., the U.N., France, and the global north in response to Haiti. They can't. But more importantly, Bahamians have not given them the capacity to be able to respond, right? Second of all, you know, and I know, what's happening in Haiti is external forces. From 1804, we know this. So what I'm saying to you, from the time that the PLPMP brought in migrants with no real concern about their housing situation to 2023, when the Bahamas government is lining up project after project after project that they know that they do not have a local labor force to fulfill, why would you suggest that Haitians obviously hate Bahamians because they keep coming here to take our jobs?
Let me read this text before I go to the next caller. Right? It said, I smile when I hear Bahamian LGBTQI people in the Bahamas claim persecution and victimization when members of that so-called marginalized group have used their positions of power in a country to sexually harass and pressure others. Many heterosexual men and women have face such harassment at the hands of LGBTQI colleagues and superiors. And I want to bring up the transsexual.
No, pause. Let's respond to the text. I understand. You can't read the text like that. Don't let me
respond. I know how you're going to respond to it.
No, but you don't know how I'm going to respond to it.
Go ahead. Let's see. Go ahead. Go ahead. Respond then.
Let me look at the text.
See, I know.
I smile when I hear Bahamian LGBTQI people in the Bahamas claim persecution. I smile too. Because I'm sure I started the show by saying that the majority of LGBTI people solve their problems with money.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that they're not being persecuted, but they solve their problems with money. In this conversation today, we are referencing the lower portion of the community, economically challenged, that are unable to find solutions for their problems in the systems that should be available to them. I just want to know what the relevance of this text is to the conversation. Why would you bait me with it? And why would you not allow me to respond to it appropriately? I won't respond to it appropriately. I can put the phone back in your hand.
It's good. I appreciate
good
that.
Producer,
let's patch the caller through. And what about this transsexual movement where, and I use that word loosely, and just to bait you also, right?
I got you.
Where they are trying to change the culture of who we are.
Nobody's right? trying
Hold
to
on.
Change the culture.
And then say that they are being discriminated, that they have a human right to be called something contrary, what we're used to, and using these words loosely because I don't write the right vocabulary, right? And to say, well, since I've transitioned now to be from a man to a woman, I'm able to go use the bathroom and facilities and compete in sporting arenas. But let me go to the text, the caller first, and then you
just want
to
let it bubble up inside me.
Bubble up inside you. Go ahead, producer. Patch that caller through. We got to have the conversation go back and forth. Go ahead, producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Neary.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. And good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Listen, I'm really flabbergasted. Uh-huh. I don't know what to say because I'm listening to the conversation, right?
Uh-huh.
And for me, for one, as a Bahamian, well, I feel like I'm full Bahamian, checking so far in my background.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel somehow like Bahamians are being pushed aside to mm-hmm. accommodate the Haitian migrants.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. Now, it may not be so. You were saying that you were asking that we act a certain way towards them or something of that sort.
No. And I want you to know that I recognize and appreciate that sentiment that Bahamians feel like they are being marginalized in their own country to make way in particular for Haitian migrants along as tourists, along with foreign direct investors. The only thing that I have been saying in this conversation is don't rush to place your frustration on the migrant. I am demanding, I got to the point where I'm demanding now that people pause and consider, right? That economic agendas have caused people to pit Haitians against Bahamians. And not just Haitians against Bahamians, poor Bahamians against poor Haitian migrants. You are correct, and people rightly feel it, that they are being marginalized in their own country. But the question is, by whom and why?
That is another reason why I called, because I'm looking at the 300 homes that the government wanted to flatten.
Yeah.
Because they were all told. However.
No, pause. You say they were all told. Did you read the ruling from the case?
So they only demolished two of the homes because they said, the magistrate said that those two knew and still built. But however, those two are Bahamians.
Listen, because the injunction was not restricted to Haitian migrants only. The injunction say nobody.
You're right. It was not restricted to Haitian migrants only. However, the information was there. It was the signage was posted in English and in Creole, so they could have understood it, but they still claimed that they did not know. And I refuse to believe that the persons in Abaco just sat by and did nothing. I believe that those persons were there talking to them time and time again, but still yet they do the one thing we know they like to do. I'm sorry for saying it so, but they like to play like they don't understand one single word you're saying.
Ma'am,
don't build there.
I appreciate.
So that's why I feel
listen,
it's wrong.
I appreciate the process, and I know you feel like it's wrong, but the law is the law.
I have another caller here, producer Patrick, caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, thank you so much. I have a bias, and I hope that I will have at least a privilege, because I ain't got no right to say anything I will see in your show, but just grant me the privilege. Now, Mr. Nuri, I noticed you were talking earlier about how you are moving about in Fox Hill, and I do know that the current representative may be tired, and he wants to become king now. He wants us to put him on a throne. So would you consider the possibility of making us happy by, you know, taking on Fox Hill? That's my right and bias. I think you'll do a good job with that. What's your thoughts?
I like our current MP.
Yeah, but he's tired now. He's
matured. We need to groom someone for sure.
Okay. Now, I have one for Aaron. Aaron, have you heard about the sentient beings that Google now creating that's going to put all this problem that we are facing to rest because we're worrying about migrants?
Hold on. Are you going to appoint me Minister of Artificial Intelligence?
Hold on. I got one for you.
Okay,
listen carefully. But see, you don't like people to finish. Let them finish, and then you could get all your credentials and instruments. Now, they normally call them ChatGPT.
Yeah.
But I got one for you, ChatLGBT. And I'm going to make sure I give you the script so you can develop that software. Sounds good?
No, but if you give me the script, maybe it is artificial intelligence.
Aaron,
I want to be the Minister of Artificial Intelligence, sir.
Yeah, but I think you do better with the LGBT one instead of the chatbot.
But then we ain't going to never meet. We ain't going to never meet. It only could be one meet. Y'all going to discriminate against us and only give us one meet.
Okay, then we ain't gonna ever meet.
No, man, you could meet. They could get more than two meet, though.
I just thought I'd bring some life to the show, man.
No, man, thank you.
Thanks very much, Corey.
Yeah, man.
Now let's talk about the transsexuals and their rights, their human rights, their rights to live.
Okay, pause. Let's start here. I like how you said that. The rights are the same.
The question is,
does everybody have access to those rights? Is everybody able to enjoy them? Right? That's what it is.
I don't understand what you're trying to manipulate my question.
Okay, so there's no such thing as gay rights.
There are no such thing as gay rights?
There's rights to healthcare.
Yeah, they get that.
And gay people...
They don't get right to healthcare?
Gay people have what we should all have, which is an inalienable right to healthcare.
Yeah, they get that.
Right? That's what you say. But...
You say it differently?
In nature and in effect, the law says that we both have it. But when we go to the hospital, how are we treated? Are we treated the same way? Right? Do doctors, nurses, and hospital staff engage you in a way that makes it clear to you? In fact, I can show you a vibe. A woman told me she went for major invasive surgery, right?
Mm-hmm.
She wears boxer shorts and was wearing boxer shorts because the surgery was in her groin area, right?
Mm-hmm.
The head nurse told her, when giving her the date for her next checkup, told her, and don't come in this hospital with no man underwear on.
Mm.
Who, what? First of all, practically, she was probably wearing the most comfortable thing. Practically, she's probably wearing the most comfortable thing for her. But secondarily, whose business is it of yours? Now, you didn't tell her, don't come with the underwear with the metal in it because of the metal detector or the MRI machine. You don't have the right to do that.
But back to the initial thread I was talking about with transsexuals, right?
That's it right there.
How is it that I, as a heterosexual man, right, heterosexual people cannot object to say, well, you cannot use that bathroom
Is the bathroom in your house?
The bathroom is a public bathroom.
It was. Okay, so first of all, it's a public bathroom, right?
Yes.
Bang.
And they have male and female public bathrooms.
Bang.
And then they have a family bathroom that you can use.
Can they use the family bathroom?
Yeah, lock that door. Only one person can go inside that.
So unisex bathrooms are fine.
Unisex bathrooms are fine.
So I think that's a, good accommodation. Like if we stop the conversation right there because we were not able to go any further, I think that's an okay accommodation.
But unisex bathroom?
Make a unisex bathroom available. You could have a men's, a women's.
And a unisex.
And a unisex.
And that'll solve that.
Or a family where only one person or group of people is expected to be in it at a time.
So if they have all three options and the transsexual decided to go inside the female one because they identify as female or male one because they...
Right.
Can I object?
You could object. You could be upset. But the question is, a couple of things. You could even advocate, you could lobby for a restriction, a legal restriction. You could do all of that. You could have your feelings. What you can't do is harass people. See, because when you go into the bathroom...
You can't go inside of one?
When you go into the bathroom, like in a woman's bathroom, there's a stall and there's a door. There's a degree of privacy granted to you. So you're not forced to watch anybody engage in any act in the bathroom. What men do with urinals, that's a little more tricky. Considering how men feel about this subject, I'm surprised that men are so comfortable at urinals next to each other. But if a woman went into a man's bathroom while men were in there, she would go into a stall and close the door, and she would presume to be safe because men are not inherent animals. And she could go in the bathroom, go in the stall, close the door. She shouldn't even have to lock it. She should trust that no man should come in there.
I see what you're trying to do, trying to manipulate this conversation.
I'm not trying to manipulate the conversation.
So what about the right for them to re-identify themselves as being either male or female?
How many Africans in this country identify as Christian? How many? How many Africans in this country identify as Christian?
It's a spiritual belief. Surely a male-born male identify as
Christian. What the priest is going to tell you, the faith that you demand proof means that you do not believe. How many Africans in this country are Christian? I'm just saying.
Caller, I see you. But the music playing. So I'm going to come back to you immediately after this break. And we'll continue to talk about human rights. And my premise is that in the Bahamas, when they say that Bahamians are violating human rights, it always comes up to two groupings. It's always be about the immigrants. And always be about the LGBT community. And I'm trying to say, is there a theme? Is there a theme? And that's what we're having the conversation about, right?
This is like your show. What about children's rights?
I don't think children are necessarily being abused. But anyway, we come back and we talk about that. Guided Radio in the AM. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. And of course, I have Aaron Green, who is a human rights activist. And we're talking about inalienable rights, right? But before I do that, I want to pay tribute and recognize my sister-in-law, Patricia Francis. And she's just recently honored by Zonta Club of Nassau as being a trailblazer, right? She was the first female director of community affairs at the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture. She held responsibility for the creation of many national programs involving the empowerment of young people. And the Zonta Club decided to honor her because she's a repeated president there. Like two or three times, right? But they decided to honor her because of her community work and her rights of a fight for children and advocate for women's rights and girls, especially ending violence against women and expand access to education for women. So I want to just pay her tribute and say, hey, I see you, sis, and congratulations, and that's well deserved, right? But continuing the conversation with Aaron.
All right, right?
Oh, I didn't forget the caller. Go ahead, caller. Producer Pastor, call through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hey, Nuri, how are you?
I'm doing well.
And Ms. Green.
Morning.
So, morning. Listen, I had to call because, you know, this human rights thing that people are pushing now, especially coming out of the U.S., I find it to be really, it's almost like a mask. You know, they're trying to hide a lot of what's going on here. I asked everybody to try and find this video. There is a woman in the United States in Atlanta, Georgia, that basically transitioned into a male. Now, she had to take hormones. This woman had to take hormones to grow, you know, face hair, to do all of this stuff. She had her breasts removed. And then it's supposedly a man, but obviously she's still a female. So she decided to stop taking these hormones so that she could get pregnant with her husband or boyfriend, whatever it is. Now, this biological female that is trying to identifying herself as a male goes to have the baby in the hospital in Atlanta. Okay. Now this biological female that calls herself in her mind a male, right, is having a baby in the hospital and wants to sue the hospital now. Sue the hospital. Think about this. Sue the hospital because on her identification marker that's on her arm, it has her listed as a female. But in her mind, she's identifying herself as a male. A male cannot have a child. But in the United States now, they are trying to make people believe that a man can have a child. That is a female. That woman is a female that calls herself a male that more than likely has a psychological issue. And now she wants the rest of the world to look at her as a male, and she's having a child. So we have to get past this human rights supposedly issue and not allow this stuff to infiltrate our country, because it is a sickening act what's going on in the rest of the world. And we need to take a position like some of the countries in Africa and say, no, we don't want that here. We do not want that here.
Thank you very much, caller.
It's a shame.
I see he beat you a lot.
No. He can't beat me. He sounds like he from Abaco, but I ain't no grouper. He can't beat me.
Definitely behaving.
1990 World Health Organization report released data showing that the Bahamas has the third highest prevalence of a condition that may result in intersex births. Right, it's 1990 World Health Organization report, study conducted by Bahamians, right? That says that the Bahamas has the third highest prevalence of a condition that may result in intersex births. No matter how you feel about the politics of it, sir, right? We know that there are intersex people in the Bahamas. We know that. Don't forget the politics of it. We know that intersex people exists in the Bahamas. We know that people who identify as trans exist in the Bahamas. So when you say we don't need that here, I can appreciate you saying that you don't want a U.S. politic, you don't want a U.S. LGBTI style advocacy in the country, but you can't say that LGBTI trans people don't exist, intersex people don't exist in the Bahamas. And let me stick a pin, not all trans people are intersex, and not all intersex people identify as trans, right? We stick a pin right there. But let's get back to this thing here. And I say to the caller, I could also appreciate your sentiment about not wanting this foreign politic here. I'm an advocate, intersectional human rights advocate with a focus on LGBTI rights. But my advocacy doesn't follow any global north policy, no procedure. I don't have a pamphlet that I turn to every time I'm advocating. In fact, I've spent my career developing my own advocacy, a regional advocacy, a Bahamian advocacy, right? Separate from a global North space. I appreciate the sentiment that the caller is sharing. I'd ask us to be a little more respectful and empathetic when we speak about people that we now know exist in the Bahamas. Let's get back to the point. The reason why you hear about LGBTI and Haitians all the time is not because they're the only people facing these issues, or not because there's an unreasonable demand to fit them in to this protocol. It's because you've been distracted. There is a housing crisis in the Bahamas, not just Haitian migrants in shanty towns and LGBTI people couch surfing, but it behooves the government to convince you that it's not a real problem. It's only a problem that those migrants face, and they shouldn't be here anyway. It's only a problem that gay people face, and they shouldn't be gay anyway. That'll solve their problem, when really the onus and the burden of solving the problems is on the government. And that's why you primarily hear about those groups, because the government doesn't want you to realize that they're not doing their job for everybody, and those groups fall into everybody.
Let's go to the callers again. Go ahead, Patrick, call it through. Go ahead, call. Turn on your radio and go ahead.
Hey, good morning. This is me again.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't finish my point. I got cut off.
Go ahead.
What I wanted to add is, Aaron, what I don't understand, but the LGBT, I might say it wrong. The group,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. I don't understand how I feel like they're pushing their agenda on me. I don't have a problem with them, you know. I don't have a problem who wants to live their life however they so choose. I have no issue with it. My issue, as I feel like you're trying to force your views down my throat, and I don't want it.
How?
So
tell me how.
It's causing me to act back.
Tell me how.
Okay, every time I turn around, it's like, oh, you're discriminating. I'm not discriminating against you. I'm not discriminating against you. I have my right to don't like what you do.
People,
you have your right. So don't like what I do.
Caller,
I'm okay.
Are people accusing you of discriminating against them, or are you saying that every time you turn around, there's a conversation about discrimination?
Every time I turn around, there's a conversation about discrimination.
How often have you heard me talk about it on my show?
No. I don't hardly ever hear you talk about it. But it's other people that I've heard talk about it, and then like the U.S., they came here to do a job, and they it's like they're also trying to push the agenda. They're picking up their flags all over the place. I don't have a problem with that, you know. But if that's how you choose to live, see me, I like what I like, and what I like is nobody's business. That's how I feel.
Okay. Also, Aaron, I want you to answer this. They say intersex is a
hermaphrodism.
Are still biologically male or female?
No, they're not. It's cool. It's a range. We went through this in the referendum. It's okay. We could get into that. There's a range, right?
We need to have a conversation about homosexuals in the Bahamas
and the
culture.
You're
afraid of that conversation?
That's not what I'm saying. We don't need to have that conversation. We need to have a conversation about human rights and what it means to have a right to a life free of violence.
That's what we need to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay. God didn't read the AM. I see Aaron trying to beat me. But
only people obsessed with homosexuality want to talk about homosexuality.
Yeah, there you go.
All the time.
I'm
My name
about
is Cooper. Thank you for having me on your show, sir.
My pleasure, Aaron. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.